Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
PHPBB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, check out techpodcasts.com. Hello, welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 77 for Saturday, September 6th, 2008. PHPBB Weekly is the weekly live podcast covering the PHPBB builds and board software at phpbb.com. I'm your co-host, Douglas Bell, live from San Francisco, California.
And I'm your other co-host, Murphy.
What?
David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life.
I was going to say that coffee that you said you hadn't internalized yet generated awfully fast.
It gets quick.
You know, ever since watching those Lind Invasion videos, David, I actually know what you look like now.
Oh yeah, true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so it's weird because like a whole year I kept on feeling like my co-host has been, you know, Jean-Luc Picard.
Bald, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I thought you were. I did literally think you were bald.
Looks like somewhere between 50 and 60 or so.
It's amazing what an avatar can do to you, which is why I don't use an avatar with a real human on it. Mine's a fake W.
It's like you expect WG Eric to be pretty tall or big or something because he's got an elephant for an avatar, and it's like he's just a little guy, really.
Except during the last 3 months of the year, he changes it to holiday stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, anyway, we are on the show, and of course, if you'd like to join us if you live, we'd love to have you do that. We are live every Saturday. You can call us at 724-444-7444 with the call ID number 12418 if you have questions or comments about what we're talking about on the show. And of course, there's also our live chat room, which you can get to via TalkShoe.com. And of course, we also have an unofficial IRC channel on Freenode, which is the PHPBB-weekly channel. We keep an eye on all of those. And of course, our sponsor for the show is GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you can hold an online meeting from your computer so that everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com during your conference call. They'll get to see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So rather than trying to difficultly explain what you're talking about, like trying to explain how David Lewis really looks in real life, as compared to Jean-Luc Picard, we can allow them to see it over the web and a full integrated voice over IP to talk to each other on the web as well. So you can get more done in less time without the hassle of driving or flying. If you'd like to give it a try, the website to go to is gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. You can get yourself a free 30-day trial. And we thank him for that. So the conventions are over. All the conventions, whether it be the one in Denver or the one in St. Paul or the one on the PHPBB Mod channel. And last week, we distracted David for about an hour and a half from his session to talk about the convention. Do you have any things we want to look back on from the convention, David?
Well, not really. We'll still need to post a summary, mm-hmm, of the convention into our convention page. But we have some team members that are out of town for the next couple of weeks, so that might not get done, mm-hmm, real soon. But it will come eventually.
Are you actually going to be publishing that PHPBB3 coding stuff tips that you did? I forget what it was called last week, as a book, like people kept saying it would.
Currently, I don't have plans to, but it would be nice. Eventually, maybe.
If you're a publisher, send David an email, right? Yeah. So, well, we're not going to keep an eye on it, because last week we talked about some of the possible changes that could be coming to the mod team, like the junior validators thing and all that.
Yeah, a decision still hasn't been made on that. Like I said, we have some Monty members that are out of town. So we want to wait until everybody's back and can make a full decision on it. It's been a discussion for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're not in a huge hurry. The queue isn't so backlogged right now. It's actually pretty good. So we're not in a panic or anything. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens. We'll discuss it and then see if we can make a decision on it. Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we didn't get to talk about last week because we kind of ran out of time was a blog post that Henry from the dev team posted about the CAPTCHAs in PHPBB. And I linked to this in the show notes because I thought it was interesting, but I thought we'd talk about it briefly. It's kind of interesting how we looked at how the CAPTCHAs, also known as the visual confirmation images, have sort of matured from the one that showed up in PHPBB2 to the ones that PHPBB3 had from the betas now through to today.
Mm-hmm.
And did you want to talk about this at all or have any comments on it? No.
Yeah, actually, I haven't read through it, but wow. I did skip through it, and it's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. There's certainly been all kinds of different CAPTCHAs, and because as new CAPTCHAs are created, the tools are created to break those CAPTCHAs.
Yeah.
And then so, you keep advancing, keep advancing, keep advancing. It used to be that if you had a CAPTCHA at all, then you could stop anything. But now, obviously, they have tools that can read it. The other thing that they do is that they can pipe CAPTCHAs through, or bots will pipe CAPTCHAs through to like porn sites, and then they will, the visitors will type in those CAPTCHAs. So then they still use humans to enter the CAPTCHAs, mm-hmm. and then they're able to get in that way. So that, it's like how you break that. You can't really.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do there.
And it's
so
difficult because this is, people keep trying to come up with ways to prevent automated bot registrations, but things are become easy to figure out. Obviously, there's a PHPABB2 CAPTCHA that was ironically enough, backported from the original 2.2 codebase. Mm-hmm. Is there? You can go Google it, and you can find how easy it is to break that CAPTCHA for PHPABB2.
Yeah, it's certainly it's one of the easiest CAPTCHAs currently to break. So it's better than no CAPTCHA at all, but it's only slightly better than no CAPTCHA at all because mm-hmm. it is almost all automatic registration tools or bot registration tools can break that CAPTCHA. It's pretty easy. But see, when CAPTCHAs were first created, then that was that wasn't the case. But as it got more popular, people started baking it. And really, what the thing is that any CAPTCHA that's mass-produced, like the CAPTCHA that's shipped with any system mm-hmm. or software like PHPBB mm-hmm. That goes out and it's used by millions of people, bots are going to find a way to break it because yeah. it's advantageous for them. So really, the way to stop spammers or automatic bot registrations on your board is to make whatever you have unique. Your registration process has to be unique, or your CAPTCHA. That's really the key. And so that concept was carried into PHPBB3, where you could adjust the way the CAPTCHA looks or feels, or yeah. how much green is in it, so that it's not just stock standard. So, of course,
I remember during the development process in the betas, and I was on the team then, and one of the former mod team members, Robert Hetzler, or Xor.
Xor,
thank you. It was often referred to as the camel. That's kind
yeah.
of fun. But he was working on a number of different, according to this, two different CAPTCHAs for PHPBB3. And boy, when those showed up in the CVS, that sparked a really, really big and very contentious discussion topic on Area 51 about the CAPTCHAs, and I was one of the biggest people against it because I thought that they were very hard to read. I tried a number of different CAPTCHA implementations, and I'd fail over and over and over again. And it's not because my eyesight's bad; it's just it was so hard to read.
Yeah, I failed over and over also with those original captchas, like the one that he said that Zor created. Mm-hmm. One was rejected, one was accepted. The one that was rejected, boy, I could never get that one right. It was the oddest thing. And
yeah, that was the one with the like the little bubblegum wrapper that had the 3D letters popping out of it, so, sort of.
Yeah, and there was also one that was like a logic puzzle.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be darned if I ever got that one right. I think I did once.
That one I got right more frequently, but it was definitely mm-hmm. weird, you know. And it takes a few minutes to figure out. And it's one thing when you're testing out a captcha, but when you're actually trying to register on a site, it takes you a few minutes to figure out the captcha. People will be tempted to be like, "Screw this."
Yeah, well, you know, I'm of the concept that, you know, your grandma should be able to read it and be able to enter it in. And if she can't, then, you know, then you kind of got a problem, because if you're so worried about blocking bots that you can know that you're blocking humans too, mm-hmm. you've defeated the whole purpose.
Exactly. That's why bots go and do that, really. They try to destroy the ability of boards to succeed.
Well, their main idea is really just to post their spam.
That too.
And, you know, if they can make it hard on their web administrators at the same time, they really don't care. It's like, oh, fine with them. You know, it doesn't bother them. It's, you know, it's not skin off their back. It's, you know, they're doing what they want. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's in the constant battle. And this is something that if anybody's interested in this topic, they should listen to or watch the topic of spam that David Rathbun gave at London Vision.
Paste the link for me to put in the show notes.
Yeah, so, and, you know, he's one guy, he doesn't like captchas either, because they're difficult to read and, you know, bots can still bypass them. But the whole idea is that you need to make your registration process unique. If you don't have a captcha, or like, well, we had the PHP2 captcha on Star Trek Guide for a long time, and I forgot that I had that one activated. I guess I left it when I was testing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was getting literally 12 to 16 bot registrations per day at least.
Mm.
And I'm like, what is going on here? I'm like, this is crazy. Why am I getting so many bot registrations on PHP3 of all things? And somebody looked at it and like, oh, you have the PHP2 captcha. Well, I switched that over, and all of a sudden the bot registration stopped cold. I mean, they were done.
Mm-hmm.
So it made a pretty big difference to have the new captcha. But it's like, well, how long will this one last? So
also,
it's
the
really
question is, can you get people to sign up? Because when you do this, there's always the chance that someone will not be able to read it properly, and they'll get themselves locked out from being able to register on your site when they're legitimate. And it's difficult because we've gotten to the point where computers are better at figuring out these patterns than human eyes are.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. But I think, first of all, the captcha that was accepted for PHP3 is pretty easy to read. I only very rarely miss that one. And it's usually because sometimes I forget that there's no zero. There is no zero. So I type in a zero, of course.
Maybe it'd be helpful if they wrote that up there.
They do. It does say.
Oh,
it says it right underneath, but it's in small letters.
For instance, I registered under PHP3.
It's like, you know, you are so familiar with PHP, you know how the registration process goes, you don't even read the field names. Like, uh-huh. I can go read, like, the other day I registered on a Spain site. It was in Spanish,
yeah.
Not English, and I registered because I know what those field names are. And I know, you know, what I know what it is. It's not. I don't have to read English to know how to fill in a registration form, and so it's pretty easy. And neither do bots. Bots don't have to read that either. They just read the field names or guess.
Yeah.
A lot of times they guess if they don't know the field.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, that's really the biggest thing. So, you know, when you're going through and you're just filling these out and you don't have to read, and you forget that there's no zero, then you know, you can miss it sometimes. But otherwise, it's pretty easy to read.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so it's an important thing.
The post mentioned briefly some of the other things out there, like trying to solve a math question or other kind of basic type of question for as a test for being a human. How well does that really work?
Well, first of all, if you have it as a unique thing, then that's going to work well. Like, you know, a lot of sites have like a question and answer. Like, they ask a question, mm-hmm. or they have the administrator sets a number of questions that they have to answer.
I think once we did a mod on here, and I don't remember, but I did a mod which was like this, except and it allowed the administrator to define their own kinds of questions.
Yeah, and it would rant. It depending, you know, so he could define like 10 questions and it would pick a random question.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have to fill in an answer or even math questions and stuff like that. As long as that's unique to your site, then you're going to pretty much stop spam cold. Unless you have such a huge site like, what am I thinking of? Like phpbb.nl or no, I'm sorry. It's, BOKT.NL, that, you know, that big horse site by Bart VB?
No.
Okay, so if you have a site that's that big, mm-hmm. Then, or even phpbb.com or a Joomla-sized mm-hmm. site or something like that, then people are going to specifically find ways to break into your site in mass.
Uh-huh. Not even so, if you had like 100 different questions, they'd still figure it out?
Oh, well, sure, because, you know, a lot of even math questions, you can simply do a Google search for it, and bots will do a Google search, and they'll come up with the answer. But the thing is, currently that's not, that I know of, no system uses that in mass. I could be wrong, but I don't think a system uses that in mass. So bot registration forms probably aren't programmed to overcome those types of questions. It's probably not worth their time to do that. So if you set up something like that, then you're probably going to be pretty good. It's something unique.
How many bot registrations does phpbb.com get?
Per day?
Or per any amount of time? Like how much do they have to deal with?
You know, I can't say I've looked because, for a long time. I used to watch Area 51. Area 51 would get about 16 registrations per day. Of course, that was right before PHPBB 3 was released, mm-hmm. so it got kind of busy. But as of recent, it slowed down a little bit because after PHPBB 3 was released and the new site was released on phpbb.com, everybody kind of went over there. Like, for me, I was an active member on Area 51. I didn't like going over to phpbb.com because it was running PHPBB 2 and I hated posting on PHPBB 2.
Oh, come on, David. Get with the program.
I didn't.
You're like, oh, I built this great website, but wait, it's not using PHPBB 3 yet. I'm not using it. Come on, I've posted D-Bulletin face boards before.
I know, and so did I. I actually started on vBulletin before anything else. Started on vBulletin before PHPBB.
I don't like it.
After you're posting on Area 51, for example, and you get used to the PHPBB 3 posting layout and the posting screen and all that stuff, after a while I was like, man, the 2 version was kind of like, oh, this is annoying or something. You know, it wasn't like I couldn't post on it at all. It was just kind of annoying.
You know, for me, it was the opposite. I thought posting under Area 51, now this is back like before the stuff back in 2005, 2006, I thought posting in Area 51 was kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so here it gives you an idea. It's currently been about 9.5 hours into the day on my time zone, and there have been just over 40 registrations in that 9.5 hours.
But in terms of bot registrations?
No, on phpbb.com. Registrations.
No, I was talking about bot registrations.
Oh, bot registrations? I don't know. I don't know if we actually...
Does phpbb.com really suffer in any real sense of the word from bot registrations?
Well, let me put it this way. Even on Structured Guide, when we had those bot registrations, well, we knew there were some kind of automated registrations because we were getting so many of them, and they were being inactive. They were inactive users, and I'd have to go through and delete them after about 2 months. Mm-hmm. They never activated. They never posted. So it was kind of interesting. You know, I guess they never went to a real email address or something. That's my guess, mm-hmm. at least most of them. And they never activated. We never had to deal with posting bots, even on phpbb.com. I think we've had some certain types of spammer bots that appeared to be an automated process, but it could have been human too. And we only had like a couple instances of it, and we banned them, of course. But you can count them on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, we don't have a spam problem on phpbb.com, and it's It has a lot to do with PHBB3 and the registration process and the CAPTCHAs, of course. It's pretty good spam deterrent right now.
I think the moral of the story really is that whether it's a CAPTCHA or no matter what you're doing to try to prevent bots, nothing's going to be perfect. And so that's really why when you're using PHP BBB, it's really, really imperative that you turn on user activation, because that way, even if you get a bot registration on your board, it can't immediately go ahead and start posting, because most bots don't have legitimate email addresses for them to activate with.
Right, and we could have, like on Starchy Guide, if we had allowed instant registration or no user activation.
Yeah,
you know, where it was just user, or not user, but if it was none.
None, yeah.
If you set it to none, then they could just, after registering, then they just sign in and start posting mass spam. So, the user registration basically ensures that they at least have some kind of valid, usable email address that they can go and automatically activate their account.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why we never had all those bot registrations that we had registered on Star Trek Guide. None of them were able to spam our board. None of them were able to post because I guess they did not use valid email addresses or couldn't figure out what to do when the emails came through.
I cannot tell you how many times I've been with a group that decided to use PHPBB. I believe it was PHPBB2 at the time, to start a new forum for themselves. But they left it set to none on there, and I don't even think they turned on the visual confirmation, quite frankly. And they would get so many spam bots, and they'd be like, "What do we do?" And I would keep trying to tell them, "This is what you're supposed to do." And they'd just say, "There's too much spam. I completely give up." And they would completely dismantle the community just because they did not turn on user activation.
Mm-hmm. User activation or visual confirmation.
Anyone asks me what's the most important thing to do when I'm running a community with PHPBB, the number one thing I would say is make sure you have user activation turned on. It is essential to making sure your board does not drown under spam bots.
Yeah, and with PHPBB3, of course, it makes it very easy to do that.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, it's not like people, it's too difficult. No, it's not. Just set it to user activation. Yeah, or
same in PHPBB2, exact same kind of switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you know, it's got the tools necessary to block spammers. So, you know, it's very easy to do. You have even what's another great feature, and this is what we really like on PHPBB.com when we do have the spammers, which are usually like human spammers.
Mm-hmm.
We can go into the administration control panel for that particular user and move all of their posts to the trash forum. We love that feature.
Yeah.
You can just mass move all their posts to the trash forum, so you don't have to go through and one by one pick out them and delete them, pick out them and delete them.
Yeah.
So it's pretty nice. And then, of course, we ban the user.
And finally, you know what I'd like to see in the next version of PHPBB? I think there should be a setting where forgive me if this is already in PHPBB3, but I think there should be a setting where if a user is inactive for like more than a certain amount of days, like 30 days, 60 days, something like that, their account automatically deleted.
There is. It's called prune user. I think it's called prune users, yeah.
Okay.
That's there. But I was actually thinking, you know, it would be great.
It would be automatic. I don't even have to worry about it. If someone registered but did not activate their account and they're inactive for like 30 days, bye. I don't even need to worry about it.
Yeah, what I was thinking? It would be a cool thing if either there was a mod or a feature in the next version of PHPBB3 where you could basically mark a user as spam and it would perform a set of tasks. It would move all their posts to a specified forum, like a trash forum, which a trash forum will exist in the next version of PHPBB3.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
Yeah. And so if it moved all their posts and automatically banned them just by a single click from an moderator or administrator – in from their profile, so they could click to the profile, click this is a spammer or whatever it would be, and it would perform all those tasks. That would be so cool. That would make dealing with spam really, really easy. It's easy right now, but you still need some clicks.
Yeah.
And it would be cool if it was all just one click. I think that would be really neat.
There you go. Almost like a Kismet for users.
the Kismet is automatic.
Yeah.
You know, So, and it catches some legitimate stuff, and you still have to sometimes go through and just make sure it doesn't catch legitimate items, and then you still have to click delete all. But yeah, that would be kind of cool just to be able to one-click mark a spammer as a spammer and have it move all their posts and ban the user. And
I seem to recall in the video from London Invasion, Mike was talking about PHP v3.2 might be a little more open with some other spam, automatic spam engines and things like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in that 3.2 are going to do that's going to be really cool. And he talked about a lot of them at London Vision, and certainly it's worth anybody's time to go listen to that particular presentation, because I knew about a lot of the features that were coming in 3.2. Obviously, I've told you about a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I've been a little bit careful to make sure I didn't blab anything I shouldn't have been blabbing, but he talked about a lot of them that I was not even familiar with, and that certainly that they have not released to anybody. So it was enough of a shock for the rest of the team members as well. I was like, whoa, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. The next version of PHP 3.2 is going to be really, really cool.
We still don't have an time estimate when it comes out, I guess. But
oh, well, yeah, there won't ever be, because as long as you have volunteers working on the project, you can't produce a time estimate. If you're working full time, if that's your job, then you can post a time estimate.
Yeah, I'm especially hoping that we can. My personal hope is to see a beta sometime in 2009.
Yeah, that's their hope also. And you've heard them say it.
If it takes till 2010, and I'm going to say it's going to be like the 2.2 to 3.0 project all over again.
The reason it's not is because the framework is not going to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
We like the framework. They like the framework.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know what? This is the framework that, you know, we've wanted and that we need. You know, it's one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best frameworks out there, PHP frameworks out there, if you can utilize it for your site. And I have. I've utilized it for a lot of different sites.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually my presentation at London Invasion that the tape ran out, and so nobody got to see it.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah. Perhaps what they should do is maybe as a separate thing release the PHP maybe framework by itself as like an API or something like that.
I don't know. PHPBB is first and foremost a community software. It's a bulletin board software, so that's what it's going to concentrate on. And getting 3.2 released, but it certainly, because it's open source, anybody can take that and make their framework out of it. And that's what we've done for a lot of the projects that I've worked on over the last couple of years. And it's great. So, mm-hmm. you know, it already allows you to do it. You still need to be a PHP developer programmer to be able to do that, but you can do it. It's not that hard.
Okay. Anyway, well, we're going to move on from that so we can keep the show moving. And so today, I blogged about this a few weeks ago. We're going to be starting a new regular segment on PHP BB Weekly, talking about building a successful community. And just going through a number of things that anyone who is intending to really have bring up a successful community, whether they're using PHP BB or vBulletin or Envision or any other platform out there. Tips on how, if you wanted to create a new community, what you should do. And this is going to include a number of different things. There will be some instances where I borrow stuff from Patrick O'Keefe's book that we talked about a long time. We've talked about quite a bit. There'll be other times when we're trying to get guests on who have experiences with building a successful community, and I'm going to hopefully get to do that. And we'll be doing this once every few weeks. And so I'm looking forward to it. Today's segment is one that I have mostly plagiarized out of Patrick O'Keefe's book for. However, I'm going to throw in a couple of things as well. But it really starts at the very first step of planning out a new community. If you are thinking about creating a new community, these are some things you need to know and things that you need to consider. And of course, if you have any comments in the chat room, please feel free to share them or questions. We'll do that. But in my experience, I'll give a little bit of my own background. I got into PHPBB around 2004 when I was interested in getting a new community going. And interestingly enough, the name Fountain of Apples was the name of that first community. I wanted it to be like a Mac-based community, but I did like everything wrong on there. I downloaded a whole bunch of hacks from PHP, bbhacks.com, installed all of them at once.
And then, did you create the forum with like 150 forums or something like that?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. No. That's usually a lot of people's mistake. They create a community and they put like 150 forums for every subject they can think of.
I did not do that. I only went up to about a dozen, but I got, you know, sort of mod interesting. I did not know what the mod database was at the time. I thought someone referred me to phpabbhacks.com. I installed a bunch of them at once, and then it didn't work for some reason. I had never dealt with code or phpabb before, and so I screwed something up, and that was the end of that. I went through a couple more communities in the interim. The only way that Fountain of Apple stuck around is that's the username I registered back on phpbb.com with back in 2004, back before I came up with the Webmax 37 name. But what I found is that it's really quite difficult, believe it or not, to keep a community going, and that's because it requires a big amount of commitment on your part. You know, I maintain a lot of blogs. I've not been very successful with maintaining communities, but I've maintained a lot of blogs, and that's because that does not require as much of a commitment to continually maintain it. It really is just dependent on you post content whenever you feel like you want to post it, and maybe, you know, you keep paying the bills to keep the site up, and maybe do some maintenance on it every so often. But with a community, because a community sort of runs by itself, it's less dependent on you providing the content. But at the same time, that also means that it requires you to be there to ensure that things are running smoothly, to ensure that users aren't getting out of control and that rules are being followed and things like that. And so it actually requires quite a bit of your own commitment to be able to keep it going. And I'm sure, David, you've probably noticed that because you and Francis have done the Star Trek guide forums quite a bit, and that requires a lot of effort on your part to keep it going and keep it successful, right?
Yeah, that's probably the number one thing that can make a successful forum is administrator activity.
Exactly.
And, of course, we had the benefit of having two administrators, so we were like, up one.
Yeah, that helps.
Yes, it does. So it helps a lot of sites that have co-founders. I know Igor experienced that when he had his – I think he had his co-founder.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has had a very successful community as well.
Yeah. And so if you're planning to start a community, you either have to have time to commit to it. You have to be able to be regularly active on there. But at the same time, if you can't do that, it's a great idea – to delegate responsibilities. Find other people who will be willing to be your staff. Find a co-administrator or co-administrators if you are able to. And, of course, these should be people that you really, really, really trust to have administrator access. Find moderators to help you keep the community going. And this will be fairly small when you're first getting started, but as your community starts to grow, you'll kind of want your staff to sort of grow along with it. And you really need to be a good delegator so that you don't find yourself being completely bogged down 24/7 by this community that you've decided to start.
Yeah, I guess it was sometime in 2006. Yes, it was sometime in 2006, early on, when our community was getting going. And, you know, I read every single topic that people posted. Every single post, I was reading it and moderating and everything. And it was just Francis and I. And then we had to go on a trip and we
missed out.
We made a staff member. Let's see. Well, actually, we interestingly enough, we started out strange. We started out with several staff members because that was the original intention. Star Trek Guide was meant to be a Star Trek based site, and we wanted to get PHPB 3 released, and a lot of the moderator control panel had not been tested, so we said, you know, join our site, we'll make you a staff, just put in a request, we'll make you a staff member, you can test the moderator control panel, try out every little feature and function within there, every page, go through there and find the bugs, report them, and stuff like that. So we actually had quite a few staff right away. We had we had a lot more active staff than we had the community. So we had help right away, and that was nice. That was definitely nice. It helped the community grow.
And that's another thing that this is a good segue, because when you're looking at a new community, you really need to talk about what is your community going to kind of cover? What's the point? And what you did with Star Trek Guide, David, was you created a community based on a needed niche out there. There really, other than Area 51 at the time, there really was not any other place that was focused entirely on PHP BB3 or the development of PHP BB3, and as well as things like mods for PHP BB3, because the mod team wasn't doing that yet, or styles, or real PHP BB3 support and things like that, because the teams were still on a hands-off, we're still developing this, we're not going to give you support or anything like that point of view. And at the same time, you guys were also giving yourselves the extra load of defying the teams by taking PHP BB development and using it as a live site and keeping it continually up to date and giving users the opportunity to have access to things they might not have had access to without knowing how to use CVS and things like that with the moderator control panel. So one of the reasons Star Trek Guide became popular because you guys found a niche that had not been filled and you filled it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then we're able to attract users to it by being active in Area 51. And that's why when you're bringing a community onto the web, you really need to find something new that has not really been filled. Find a niche or a community or a general topic that does not really have a community on the web yet. This is one of the best ways you can get people interested in your site if you don't have a community to come with. Now, obviously, if you perhaps like have a group of friends, or if you have like a real user group in reality, or things like that, or a source of people that you can just move on to a forum, then that can also be successful as well.
And here's a couple examples for that. One of our staff members on Structure Guide has a morals hunting, which is like mushroom hunting. A forum. It's, you know, again, he's filling a niche, and there's a community up in Michigan that goes mushroom hunting every spring. And so they go to this forum to talk about mushroom hunting, and that's what they talk about. So they get pretty busy in the spring talking about mushroom hunting and all these mushroom hunters and stuff like that. It's really kind of unique. And the other thing is that, you know, there's some churches which are like, you know, we want our own forum where all of our church members can communicate. And, you know, we might have a church with 1,000 members. 1,000 registered members or active members and going to church, and they would register on that board and basically generate their own private community within that church. And so that helps too. So those are a couple of examples of, you know, having a site started like, you know, the latter one was a church site and all your church members. So you already have this big group of people that can automatically join. So you've got your community there.
And the benefit there is that they don't have to go and try to attract more people. They may end up having more people register but by accident, but they don't really have to go and attract more people. But if you're starting out from scratch, then it really helps to have something unique like that. Because, for example, if you were to start like I did and start a forum of a Mac users type of forum. Well, there's a gazillion Mac users forums out there, you know. There's a whole bunch out there. The chances are people looking for a Mac users forum will have already found one of the more popular ones. And so that puts you at a disadvantage, whereas if you're doing a forum that does not have as many, you know, other competing forums out there, like mushroom hunting, for example. Though I didn't know you had to hunt mushrooms out, but that's learn something new every day, right? Right.
Yes, you do.
So when you're planning out your community, you really need to figure out who do you really want to attract. Do you want it to be a very broad group or a very narrow niche specific group? And you also need to think about what are you going to bring that's new to the table? Because if you can really bring something new to the table, then you have something successful. If you're starting up another Mac community forum, you can come up with a new way to present information or a new kind of benefit that users to that community can only find there, then you have something that will actually be able to grab people who may already be members of 3 or 4 or 7 Mac forums out there. And so these are some of the ways you can make it successful, but otherwise you might find that it might be better if you become active in one of those other communities instead and try to, you know, climb the ranks over there, as an example. Because when you're starting a new community, the first thing you have to do is to find the people who will be willing to come and become active in the community to keep it going. The other thing you want to think about is, will you be able to financially support a community? Now, it depends on what kind of plans you have in mind. You might be doing something as basic as you'll find some kind of a free host or a very cheap host on the internet to set up your community on, or you might find yourself doing like David does and getting like his own cPanel base or some. I don't know what your server setup is. You talked about it like last week, I think.
Yeah, we have our own server. Yeah. It's co-location hosted.
Mm-hmm. That must we cost don't have a bit, the, doesn't it?
It must cost what?
Doesn't that cost a bit to keep up?
Actually, it's cheaper than dedicated hosting. Because, well, first of all, you own your own server.
Yeah.
And the hosting costs are significantly cheaper. Like co-location hosting is not uncommon to be $300 to $500 a month. Co-location hosting is generally around $100, $250 a month. So, it's about $1,200 per year or maybe a little bit more, but that's pretty around average, $1,200 a year.
But that goes to show you have to depend on how much are you willing to spend on. You're going to spend $150 to $200 a month on like a co-location server or more on a dedicated server, or you're planning to do small. Like I pay $60 a year on shared hosting for all my sites, and you know,
right. It does depend on certainly the size of the site that you have, so it's like if you're just starting out, shared hosting is just fine. Most of the sites that I administrated for a long time were just on shared hosting, and eventually we outgrew that server. We moved on to VPS, which is a virtual private server that's managed. And basically, usually it's 1/6 of a server, whereas shared hosting, you could be on the server with 150 other people. Literally, 150 other accounts. Mm-hmm. So a VPS is obviously a lot smaller. You're on with only 5 other people. Then we outgrew that eventually. Mm-hmm. It's like if somebody's using a huge load, if your sites are pretty heavy on the server, on your VPS, mm-hmm. then you're going to cause everybody else on that server to kind of suffer from that. So. But anyway, we moved on. We're like, it's time for us to buy a server. We bought a server, about $5,000.
Wow.
Really, really powerful server. We're not going to outgrow it for a long, long time. And then got co-location hosting. And it was really not a whole lot more expensive than VPS. VPS is pretty cheap. You can get it for like $30 a month. So it's really good for mid-range site or mid-sized site. And then for a large site, obviously, you can either do a dedicated server or a co-location hosting. And we wanted our own server. We wanted a Mac server.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did. We did co-location.
But that's actually a great example of the fact that whatever you're planning to spend on your community, keeping it going at first, you may end up spending a heck of a lot more originally if your community gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like there's a meaning chance where a community can become too successful to the point where it actually causes you to run out of bandwidth frequently and other things like that, and you may have other host issues. So there is a chance that if you want to keep a community going, you'll have to be spending more and more on it, like you guys have to.
I think definitely to have a successful community, you should be willing to spend money on it.
Yeah.
So, for example, starting out a community, I definitely do not recommend that if you want a successful community, do not get free hosting. Do not have a free hosted or one-click install form. That kind of shows your lack of dedication, in my opinion, mm-hmm. to that particular community, because you are going to have a hard time with transferring that to another one, and it kind of shows your lack of dedication in putting any money forth to get the community going, or lack of commitment, I think. Of course, that's just my opinion on it, but I really feel strongly that it just shows a lack of commitment as a administrator if you don't want to put at least a little money forward to get a shared hosting account, at least for $5 to $7 a month, which is not that expensive. And, get something good that you can work with.
Now, obviously, it's going to depend on how big you plan your community to be. Obviously, a forum on mushroom hunting will not turn out to be as big as phpbb.com's community will. And so, chances are, you won't need to upgrade to a big co-located server for a forum for a board on mushroom hunting. Whereas Star Trek Guide, they kind of had to go and do that because it became that successful.
Star Trek Guide would probably work okay on a VPS.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, we would probably be pushing the limits a little because we want it – one of the things that we like is really, really fast load times. So it's like you want that page to load in under 0.5 seconds. And on a VPS, of course, you're kind of limited there. So you might have a little bit higher load times and you might be limited in some ways. And we didn't want to be limited. We wanted to spend the money to get a really good server and get that community going. We put a lot of commitment into that community.
That's why when you're planning your community, you need to figure out, will you be able to support it financially? And we won't get to it in this episode, but you may want to consider whether or not you're planning to use advertising or some kind of a donation system, or perhaps a way for people to sponsor and get access to like premium sections of the site. That's like kind of what something that Star Trek Guide does. And so these are things you do want to think about before you're getting a site going. These are things you want to plan out to ensure that going a couple months or even a couple years down the road, your board will continue to be successful, and you won't be able to fall down simply because of financial issues or issues of it not being active or things like that. Because in a way, you're making an investment in this. You don't want your investment to fail.
Right, and that's why a lot of people choose vBulletin, is because, you know, even though it costs quite a bit for the software, they are willing to invest in that particular software for a big bulletin board. And so a lot of the big bulletin boards out there are running VB. And I think now with PHP 3, obviously, it's going to compete with that because it's a very good piece of software that's free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things like that. But one of the things that we did on Star Trek Guide was, initially, we didn't put any ads on there. We hated it. We're like, no ads. We will not put ads on the site. We don't like ads ourselves. We're not going to subject our users to ads. We didn't take donations for a long time. And it's like, after a while, it's like, you know what? If you do want a successful community, you really should, even though you're dedicated to it and it is a hobby and things like that, if you can make it pay for itself, it can really be motivational for you to keep it going and keep it online and stuff like that. So we're like, okay, you know what? Let's go ahead and put some ads on there. Let's go ahead and take donations. And so that's what we did. And so now the donations alone pretty well pay for all of our hosting and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So it was very worthwhile for us to do that.
It's not really a case of you trying to make money off of this. That's not the case at all. Like we, on PHP BB Weekly, we actually do spend. I actually do spend money on keeping PHP BB Weekly going between things I've had to pay for the recording stuff and for my editing software and for keeping my server going, my hosting going. That is that houses PHP BB Weekly, and so we have sponsors on here to help recoup some of those costs. But we don't do this for the purpose of making money. If GoToMeeting dropped off from us right now, I'd still keep going with the show because that's not the reason.
It's not making us a profit, certainly. No.
We've been doing ads for since April. I still haven't gotten a single check from them. I should start pushing them a bit because it's like, where is it? What's up? This is the deal here.
Yeah, no kidding. Because they're going to advertise, might as well get something out of it. Pay for it. So yeah, that's what we did on Star Trek Guide. It's like, you know what? The site can pay for itself. So let's go and do that. You know, we don't have to spend all of our money on Star Trek Guide just because, you know, we enjoy the community or we're enjoying our time there, but it can pay for itself. Yeah, we're not making a profit on it. That's okay. We enjoy it. We do it because we enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So
when you're launching a new community, you have a couple of options of how to do it. The first option is – this is the option that Star Trek Guy did. This is the option I did a couple of times. Launching a brand new standalone community. This is a new community. You're starting from scratch. The only thing that is there are the forums. And this is what Star Trek
that is on your
is.
Site.
You guys do not have – you guys don't have like a news section. You guys don't have any of this fancy stuff. The only thing that draws people to Star Trek Guide are the forums. And many forums have been successful this way. However, it is a bit more difficult to get going.
And for a brand new community, that is probably one of the most difficult things that you can do, unless you have a group already, like some clan groups. You know, you might have a clan group and it's like, you know, let's get together and do a forum. And so that's where, for example, a forum can become successful right away or a site can become successful just as a forum, or even a church group. It's like, we have 1,000 members, build a site that's just a forum, and instantly you have this huge huge group that can be successful just mm-hmm. because you already have the group there. That's about, examples yeah. of where it can be successful. Now, Starter Guide, we didn't have that benefit. Yeah, we started from the very bottom. We didn't have a huge, we didn't have anybody except one person from a previous board. Uh-huh. That was it. And everybody else
people
just
coming to your site from links in your signature on Area 51.
Yep.
I remember back when I was sure later days I was on the mod team and I was, you know, doing things in Area 51. I didn't visit very frequently, but I'd see this Jean-Luc Picard guy called Highway of Life. And who's this? Posting something about a Star Trek guide thing. It's like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, so
that worked.
It did, you know, a lot of people wanted to get PHP 3 out the door, and we said, you know, I put in my signature, help get PHP 3 Beta 1 release, because we installed before Beta 1. We said, help get Beta 1 release. So we were on CVS. Star Trek Guide was a CVS install, and had people join us and start posting bugs and started discussing things that we felt could not be discussed on Area 51 back when I was a rebel.
Dave, I will admit, you didn't do much to help it get released because when you had launched your Star Trek guide, we already kind of had an internal date for the Beta 1 release. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I didn't know at the time, but I know now, of course.
You didn't know at the time, you know now. So.
But I was, you know, it did help us find a lot of bugs mm-hmm. that would have otherwise been missed. And, you know, I was the top bug reporter for a long time.
Yeah. And quite frankly.
Before.
And for all the times that the PHPBB teams say, we don't support development versions, you shouldn't run it on a live environment, to be honest, running it in a live environment is really the best way you can find out what the bugs are, because that's really the way you can see how PHPBB will respond in a live environment in the way that people will actually use it. And if there are bugs doing things like that, then that's the best way to report them.
Right, but the only thing is that you might have people who are not who don't know anything about coding. I mean, nothing even about HTML. And so then you have them install a community, and if there's a problem, what are they going to do? Like, we have had problems on Search Guide that could have been like it's too difficult a problem for a simple user to try and fix.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it was only because we are PHP programmers mm-hmm. that we can go in and we can fix it or upgrade or whatever it might be, because that was not something a normal non-PHP programmer could do. And so, yes, it was absolutely good for them to say, you know, we do not support beta versions, because then you would have had all these people installing them, and then the support team would have had a lot of trouble trying to support it, because they were very difficult problems back in the beta stage that you could come up with. And so, yeah, it was a very smart move on their part to not support beta.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. But that's one option you can do. Now, when you're launching a new community, however, this is kind of really important. Don't launch a community about everything.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're going to launch a community, you really kind of have to have a purpose of the community. You kind of have to have something to focus on. Now, yes, you can have like a forum for everything else. General discussion. Go ahead, do that. Even phpbb.com has that. But your forum really has to have a purpose. It can be broad. It can be specific. It can have to do with mushroom hunting, or it can have to do with all kinds of agriculture. It could have – and Star Trek Guide focuses on Star Trek discussions and focuses on PHPBB3 modding and support and things like that. And a Mac forum focuses on Mac users, or it can be a computer forum, or it can be a forum about how to use MAMP that we talked about last week. You could create a forum just how do you use it. You know, very specific or very general, but you can't do a forum about everything, because A, it'll be overwhelming. B, it doesn't really have much of an attraction for people, because people usually sign up for a community because there's something that they're interested in, and that community matches what their interests are. And C, a community for everything really will not attract everyone, because there are people that do not want to be on a community with everyone, and so it won't attract those kinds of people. So, in short, your community has to have a purpose. That's the main point. And if your community has a purpose, if it has a direction, it has a interest, that can be used to your advantage, because that will help you find other people with that kind of interest And those kinds of people will then register, and those are the kind of people you want on your board to keep it active and keep it going. And possible future staff members as well, looking ahead into the future. So make sure your community has a purpose. If you're going to launch a standalone community, it needs to have a stated purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, even a site that's like the mushroom hunting one, that's a site with an added forum. So, you know, their purpose primarily is the site, and then they have a community to go along with it. And so obviously they have a purpose dedicated with that particular site. But purpose is good for either standalone or an add-on to your existing site or CMS or whatever it might be.
And that's actually the next parts I'm going to talk about. The next option, you can launch a community with a content site at the same time. And this is something that some site things have done. They've launched a new content site. This could be like a portal or some kind of a news section or a blog or things like that. You can post news, and it will also have a community associated with it. Now, there are some pros and cons to this. Pros, if you have a news section, this can provide more interest in your site because you have more things to talk about, and it also will mean more things to talk about in your community. If you have like a news section that you're posting, these are things that you can talk about. For example, when we launched the PHP Maybe Weekly website, if we launched a PHP Maybe Weekly dedicated forums along with that, well, every time we post a new episode, there's something to talk about. It's like built in things to talk about for your community when you have things on your site. Now, there's some cons to this, is that your content site needs to be active. And this may require you to seek out people to be writers on there, to keep it going, because it really has a dependency to be as active as your community has to be. Also kind of depends on you finding a good integration between a content management system and the forum software. We just lost David again. Sorry, David's internet's causing him some problems today. But you have to find a good connection between the content management system and the forum software. And those integration options are relatively limited. You know, obviously, Joomla has its Rockbridge integration with PHP BB3. And there's a number of other options out there that you can go to. You know, I think Envision Board has some kind of connection, or vBulletin has some kind of built-in blog thing, and WordPress is working on something with BBPress. But for now, it's harder to find really, really, really good integrations between a good content management system and forum integrations. And right now, Rockbridge is probably your best bet. But that's because it's really important that the kind of content you have on the content management side is also able to connect to the forum side, so that people can really have integrated discussions between the two of them.
And so that's log in between the two, because you know you have to be able to log in to one, mm-hmm. and you want to be able to log into the other at the same time. That's really the whole purpose of an integration.
And so, unless you can find a good system, it may require a little bit more technical know-how than launching a standalone community would.
Really, if you're starting a site that big, you should have somebody on staff or somebody available writers. Who can do some technical thing, especially.
Definitely writers to keep the content going.
Right, writers that's one thing that you may be able to do if you're starting a site that's, you know, if you're a blogger, for example, you are a writer. But if you're trying to integrate a whole bunch of stuff between your blog, for example, and your forum or your CMS or your gallery or whatever, so that when people log into one, they log into all of them. Mm-hmm. That's the whole purpose of a bridge, is to be able to do that. Log into one, log into all of them. Create an account on one, it creates an account on all of them. So, but obviously you need to have somebody who can do something in the code that you're working in, whether that's generally PHP or ASP or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Another option is, suppose you already have a content site, launch a community for that. And one of the big things for that is that if you already have an established site with visitors, if you create a new community for that site, that provides like an instant boost in your community membership. And we also talked about if you have like a church that exists in real life, can move over to that community. If I was to create, and I'm not going to, if I was to create a community for PHP BB Weekly, then that would have a pretty good beginning, a chance to get new members on there, because everybody that subscribes to PHP BB Weekly, I mean, we're up in the We're over 100 now in terms of, I think, in terms of people subscribing to the show, which is really exciting. Those are people that could very easily be able to transition over, become members of that community. And that gives you sort of the backbone of being able to get started that way. If you don't have your own content site, but if you wanted to start a community, sorry about that, you wanted to start a community related to an existing website, perhaps contact the owner of that site and see if perhaps you guys could work together.
Yeah, that's certainly a good thing too. And for example, like Start Your Guide and PHBBB Modders, they are kind of I don't know what you call them, partner sites or whatever. Yeah. It's very similar kind of communities started around the exact same time, both based around the exact same thing. And so we have a link to their site on our site, and they have a link to our site on their site. So, you know, that's certainly one way to do it. Another way is to actually merge a community, start a site with, you know, basically uses the same database or whatever. You have to trust a pretty good to do that. You know, certainly wouldn't just, you know, pick out somebody else who had a forum exactly like ours and say, hey, let's use the same database or whatever. No, that I would not do that.
Another example is the fact that our PHPBB Weekly forum is on Star Trek Guide. And that's because I really, really did not want to start up a whole brand new community for PHPBB Weekly because I don't have that kind of time to keep it going. And starting up from the ground up is difficult. But I realized you already have Star Trek Guide going. And quite frankly, almost all of the forums that we would possibly have on a PHPBB Weekly community are already on Star Trek Guide, to be honest. A lot of people on Star Trek Guide listen to PHPBB Weekly, and that's because back in the early days of the show, you really helped to promote it, and of course now you're the co-host. So we decided, how about we just work together, put a forum specifically for PHPBB Weekly discussion onto Star Trek Guide, an existing community, and that's a way where a content site and a community that are completely separate can still work together. And there are numerous options you can do for that.
Yeah, it's obviously a common interest between our community and PHPBB Weekly. Everybody on Start Your Guide, or most of the active members on Start Your Guide, are very interested in PHPBB Weekly and have listened to it at least once. And we're talking about a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, the user base for PHPBB Weekly is also the same as the user base for Start Your Guide. So it just made sense to put the PHPBB Weekly forums on there and just basically merge those two possible communities, which are kind of one and the same anyways, but yeah.
It's also beneficial in another way, and because more people on phpbb.com are finding out about PHPBB Weekly, either through my signature or through the fact that you guys have appear to have completely stopped the official podcast, and David, you keep mentioning PHPBB Weekly more and more, as more people discover the podcast, because we keep talking about Star Trek Guide, they'll start discovering Star Trek Guide. And so this can be really beneficial for both different sites. PHPBB Weekly, which sort of has a listener community and which shows up in our chat room every week, and you having a real forum-based community.
Yeah.
So there's lots of benefits there. So these are some of the different options you really have when you're launching a community. And if you don't have the energy for launching a standalone community, there are other options you have to sort of build it into, work with other people. You really are not alone. This is the internet, for Pete's sake. There's a gazillion websites out there, lots of people out there, and so it works. Very important thing when you're planning out a new community, and since I know the chat room's getting a little impatient, we are almost done, is that you really need to be able to ensure that you can keep your community active. And that means if you're planning to have a community on mushroom hunting, and I don't know where we caught on this mushroom hunting thing, but that's going to be the anecdote for the day, is that you have to be sure that you will be able to get enough people to keep the community active. And in the case of mushroom hunting, you talked about how they already have a group that can come on and keep the community going. But if you're starting a community with a very, very, very small niche and you don't have anybody that's getting going, you have to, with it, you need to be able to forecast, will you be able to get enough users on the forum to keep it active, to keep it going? And because if that doesn't happen, then people are going to come to your community and see that it has not been posted on in a long time. And then it's going to go away because they're going to figure this community is dead. And that could be, you know, your downfall. And so if you have like a super, super, super small niche, make sure that it's a niche you can fill. Make sure that it's a niche that you can get people to come to. Otherwise, you won't be successful. And it will, again, it will be a lost investment. David, you're still with me, right?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, make sure you're not dropping off again.
No.
And so the last thing I want to talk about, unless, David, you want to say anything on that.
No, that's you pretty well covered it.
So last thing I want to talk about for this segment is there are if you're going to start a community, you as an administrator really need to have skills, certain skills to keep the community successful. And these I sort of put – again, I kind of plagiarized these out of Patrick O'Keefe's book. But the first thing you really need to have, you have to have good people skills and you have to have good communication skills. Because you are an administrator does not mean that you are as remote from your users as the president of the United States is from the average citizen. You have to be able to communicate with people. You have to be able to communicate clearly to your users and your staff. You have to ensure that you don't discriminate against people depending on the way they type or communicate online. You need to be able to, you know, be able to talk with other people. If you're the kind of person that gets easily shy or doesn't like communicating with other people, then this job is not for you.
The other thing, too, is if you're a, you know, if you're a user wanting to start a new forum or a new board, and you only like to talk in text speak or lead speak, you are not going to succeed. Simply,
exactly.
That will not work. You have to earn respect from your users for your site to succeed, and you know, being kind of a shoddy communicator, using bad grammar, bad spelling, text speak, lead speak, that sort of thing. Will not help you.
It might work in an instant message session, but it does not work very well in forums. Most people like to, you know, do more real world typewriting on forums.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that did make Start Your Guide very successful was the fact that Francis and I, Handyman, communicate with a lot of confidence and knowledge, and you know we communicate in such a way that, you know, it's like what you're reading, you're going to feel confident in what we're saying. Uh-huh. You can easily understand us because we use good grammar, good spelling, and very, you know, very even. It's like sometimes you get an administrator who will be just very emotional over every little thing, and it's like that's, you know, you're going to lose respect from your users if you do that sort of thing. So you've got to be professional. All those things are going to help make your community succeed. So being professional, being a good communicator is very, very important when starting a community.
Some more things you need to have a lot of patience. If you are signing up, agreeing to be a community administrator, you are going to deal with idiots. If your board becomes big enough, even if your board doesn't become that big, you are going to get people who are not necessarily spammers. They just sign up, but they act like total jerks.
And if you don't want to communicate with idiots, then being an administrator is definitely not for you.
They may want to cause trouble. They might want to upset you. They might want to try to get on your nerves. You need to remember to avoid taking things personally. You need to focus on acting in a professional manner at all times when dealing with idiots. And there are other things we'll talk about in the future on how to deal with these kinds of idiots. But you got to remember that you got to be patient because the way you act will reflect on your community and reflect on the way users see you. You need to be accessible, okay? Because private messages exist in forums, and if you don't really, really, really hate private messages, turn them off. But if you're going to have private messages turned on, then you need to be recognize that people will try to contact you via private messages. Don't get angry if people contact you via private messages or if they contact you via contact information that you've already made available to the public. If you don't want people sending you instant messages or emails, then don't make your email address and your IM address public, because otherwise people will do that. And if you respond to them with an angry response, then they're going to want to go away from your site. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing you volunteer to give yourself your time up for when you agree to be an administrator.
And I'll give an example of what we do. First of all, we don't allow private support. You know, just like PHPP.com, we don't want people contacting our staff or our team members for private support. And because private support only helps a single person, whereas if they posted an issue publicly, then it helps everyone. It's like, well, what if the support issue is too private? Like, what if they've been hacked or they need somebody to, you know, look at their database or something like that? Well, first of all, something like that needs to be posted in the case of PHPBB, something like that needs to be posted in the incident tracker on PHPBB.com and dealt with by a team member of PHPBB.com. But so there's no case on Startup Guide where support needs to be private. Sure, we might get to the situation where it's like, okay, I need to lead you through a series of steps that's going to be a little, you know, most of the time, you know, that could be posted on a forum. I'll post a series of steps that I need to go through. But sometimes it might be pretty complicated, and rarely, and I'm talking about less than 1% of the time, I might say, okay, contact me via IM and we'll go through this, you know, together to make sure you get this thing going, okay? But, you know, you still have to deal with everything, and you know, you will get people contacting you privately for one thing or another. And in the case of Start to Guide, we don't allow them to contact us privately for support. And we'll say, we have a rule against that. Please post on the boards. You know, if they continue, we'll block them or send them a warning or something like that. But you still have to treat those people professionally. You still have to treat, you still have to treat people with respect, because it just doesn't do any good if you make a user mad and he goes off and he spouts on some blog about how awful your site is, then, you know, that doesn't really help. Yeah. So it's important to always be respectful and know that sometimes people may contact you for something that they need. So it is a good idea to post something like an IM. I don't mean something that they need, something about your site. Let's say, for example, my site goes down and – I might have some people on Start Your Guide who have my IM address, and you know, so, and they've got that from before with communicating with me, and you know, I encourage regular communication. The only thing that I don't encourage is contacting me for support. But anybody wants to contact me and just talk about whatever developments in PHPB or whatever, that's fine with me.
Suggestions for the database and David and email.
Yeah, certainly. And so, you know, they may have my instant messenger already. The site goes down. They contact me and say, hey, your site's down. Or, like, I get some communications like, hey, your clock time is off. I'm like, oh, darn, you know, I need to go fix that or whatever. Yeah. So it does help to have, you know, an IM address on there or a phone number. Sometimes it might be down enough that somebody might need to call me and say, hey, the site's down.
But if you don't want that kind of people to contact you with your IM address, don't make it public.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Amazing.
Yeah.
Or do what I do, and for my IM address, or at least for AOL, I make it so that if you're not on my buddy list, you don't get to see me whether or not I'm online. Problem solved. But it's not like you can, if people IM you, you can tell me angry and say, don't talk to me when you've made yourself perfectly public.
Yeah, and of course, with what we've done is like, well, I don't want people contacting me for support and whatnot, but if anything is wrong with the site, I certainly want somebody to instant message me, say, hey, or you have a spammer posting, or you have, you know, your site's down, or there's some flame war going on in the chat box or something like that. I have to
it's
be
up
able
to you, really. How much you want your users to be able to contact you?
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing you have to do is, and this is really important what makes the best communities the best, is that if you're an administrator, you still need to be an active participant in your community. And this not only does this help to keep the activity and the discussion in your community going, but this serves an additional purpose. It makes you seem less of a super overlord in the community and makes you seem more like a regular person. It's another one of the users out there, and it helps to welcome people to the community. It helps them to get them more comfortable on your community when you're talking. You know, participate in the conversations. You know, share your thoughts. Perhaps learn yourself a thing or two. Very important to do. Be active.
Yeah, participate in discussions. Don't get into flame wars, obviously, with your users. In those cases, of course, you're acting as a moderator, and moderator means that you are dealing with discussions in an even way. You're dealing with it professionally without emotion. Very important. So, you know, but participating in discussions is important for administrators. And even, you know, I'll jump on Starchy Guide and help the support team on their deal with support. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, that's not my primary duty, sometimes I'll be like, yeah, I just want something different to do, and I'll jump on there and give some people help mm-hmm. and support and go participate in a discussion or one of their forum games or something. It just kind of helps strengthen the community and helps keep them everybody together. And say, you know, Highway of Life is human too. He's not this far off robot or whatever that
I remember
just
one of the forum games at Star Trek Guide. So you started playing one of the games, and the very next reply was someone said, "I think it's cool that David's playing Highway of Life is playing these games with us." It works. It's awesome. It's basic people skills. You know.
I'm not a particular fan of forum games because I'm like, you know, what's the point of them? But, you know, it is kind of cool. Sometimes people don't have anything to do and they want to go have fun on your board. It's like, hey, I'm not going to discourage that. And so that's why we made the forum games forum. We don't count post counts on there so that people can just go play on that forum as much as they want.
Yeah,
so,
you should see that three-word story on Star Trek Guide. It's getting long.
Yeah, and weird.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. You also, very important, you really, really need to avoid taking things personally. You need to understand, when you're the administrator, when you have that rank on there that says that you are an administrator on the board, and a special color that identifies you as one of the big team members or staff members on there, you are automatically held to a higher standard than other users. And so if you are easily offended by things, then people will try to easily offend you, and your response will make your site look bad.
You know, or people just lose respect for you to a point where they just leave.
But you still need to care about what happens on your community. You need to care about how people think, how they feel, how they are. And that's also important to make sure that you're caring about the experience that other people are having on your community. But don't be easily offended. Come on, all right? If you're the kind of person easily offended, then you will not be successful with a community. It's just the way it is. You need to be able to make hard choices. There will be times on your community a fork in the road will show up. You need to go either one way or another with some kind of decision down the road. And some people want you to go one way. Some people want you to go the other way. And no matter what you do, you may cause people to be upset and want to leave your community. That could happen. But you have to really be willing to make the hard choices. You need to make the right choices, even if it's the unpopular choice. And also, you need to be a good manager. You're in charge of the community. You're in charge of your staff. You need to be willing to be a good manager so that you can keep your community going in the right direction. And finally, you really, really do not need a lot of technical knowledge. I mean, on the show, we've had a lot of times where we've talked about more technical things, you know, things for mod authors, things like that. If you're starting a community, you really mostly need to be able to read directions, to know how to install the board and be able to, you know, do the administration function, but you don't really need to know how to do MySQL stuff and PHP stuff. If you want to install mods, you may need to read just a little bit about how the mod instructions work, or, you know, get EasyMod or eventually the package manager and do it that way. But you really do not need to have a lot of technical knowledge. And interestingly enough, in some cases, there have been people who have started communities who don't even know much about what the subject is. In his book, Patrick O'Keefe talks about how he started up KarateForums.com. He's never done martial arts in his life. He had no idea about what it was on here, but he started it because he felt that there was a niche. He felt that there was a need for a Karate Forums, and he was interested in learning a bit more. And so he started the forum site without knowing anything about karate or martial arts. But it's a successful site. He learns more about karate through that method. And so do not be afraid to start up a community if you are not like the world's greatest expert in the subject. You don't have to be.
Right. You don't have to be the world's greatest expert in that particular subject that you're starting the site on, but it does help.
It does help.
It does help to have a lot of knowledge about the particular subject that your forum is on. Like, for example, our site, obviously, PHPBV. If I was not – you know, if I was, say, I was interested in flower picking or whatever, okay, it doesn't help for me to start a PHPBV site because I don't really know anything about it. Sure, I can go learn as people come, but since, like, well, what's the point? I'm the administrator. I'm, in a sense, the leader of the board or the mayor, if you if you will. Okay, so it helps to have knowledge of that particular. Your community is going to be most successful if you start in a field that you are particularly knowledgeable in.
Or perhaps if you're really interested in finding out more, you might actually consider it. Perhaps you can find staff members who are really familiar in the field, or perhaps you're familiar in a field, but you're not willing to start up a community. See if you're someone you know who's willing to spend the time, the managing time, to start the community, but you can they don't but you can provide the expertise. It really depends on what you can get to work for you. It's really what it depends on. What you can get to work for you. And ultimately you really need to remember when you're planning out a community is that everything that you do will reflect on you and your community.
Everything
you do. It's like everybody pays attention. Like everybody pays attention to the President of the United States. Everything he does reflects on the country. Well, you're the administrator of the board. Everything you do reflects on your community.
And it's also goes back to the fact that you're held to a higher standard than everybody else.
Exactly.
It's just like the president, or even the politicians who are running for president right now are held to a higher standard than everybody else. Or should be held to a higher standard than everybody else. it's not time or place. But anyway, so it's the same thing really with your community. You have to be held to that higher standard. Everything will reflect on you, and you are the reflection of your community. So you've got to keep everything, you've got to keep everything professional. And it's kind of funny. I had somebody instant message me the other day, and they're like, "Do you like wares?" I'm like, well, what kind of question is that? Wares are illegal. It doesn't matter whether I like wares. Wares are illegal, and therefore I don't like wares. And it's like, it's stealing. It is what it is.
Yeah.
If you pirate software, you are no better than a common thief, basically. Mm-hmm. It's important to have a community that's within the law too. Yeah. But again, there's a good example of where that particular administrator is a reflection of his community too. You go in there, you read everything, and it's like he's a reflection of his community.
Yes. And so these are some of the things. If you want to start a community, think about these things. Make sure that you can contribute the time needed to keep the community going, because it is a bit of a commitment, especially at first when you're getting started from the ground up. Make sure that you have the skills you need to allow your community to succeed, and these are things you need to plan out and think about before you even go and download PHPBB or vBulletin or whatever you're going to do and get started. These are things you really need to think about before you get going. But if you think about them and you plan them out and you're fairly sure you can have a successful community, go for it. Go for it, go for it, go for it. And in the future episodes of PHP BB Weekly, we'll talk a bit more about some of the things that you will want to know after you've already started a community. And so that's the end of this first segment. It went very well. And so we're going to move on now to the mod and style of the week. After mentioning, since everybody in the chat room has been wanting me to say this all day, happy birthday to Jonathan Stanley, also known as SHS. It is his 30th birthday today. And, of course, he's the father of the Birdie Empire and also the person who did the most work getting the new website up back in March of 2007. He's done a lot of other things for PHPBB, and so happy birthday to him. No, we are not going to be giving birthday wishes to every single team member from now on, but unless some people in the chat room force me to do it hard enough, like they forced us to mention that today. But happy birthday, John. David, you want to say anything about that?
Yes, I tell you what, John was so enjoyable to meet in London. I really, really enjoyed meeting him, and I wanted to meet him for a long time, especially because I was a rebel against John Mosley before I joined the teams, really. That was, purpose of Star Trek Guide. But so I've wanted to meet him for a long time. And so he was fantastic to me. And he really enjoyed all the Birdie fun that was going on. Because we put Birdie in weird poses and take pictures of him and stuff. And so he kind of enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he was fun.
David, if you ever get a chance to come down to San Francisco, we'll go over to Jeffrey's Hamburgers down here in San Mateo, and we'll get a picture of Birdie drinking one of those big milkshakes. Those things are huge.
I get to take a picture of Birdie riding my horses.
Ah, do that.
That would be funny.
Okay, mod of the week this week. This is one you might actually be interested in, David. Is called TH23 Domain. It is by the author named TH23. And this modification allows you to use PHPBB3 across multiple domain names. For example, Star Trek Guide. You can get to there via StarTrekGuide.com or PHPBBAcademy.com, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so This allows you to do that by allowing you to specify, cookies and site names separately if you want to. However, it also provides an option that allows your users to log into all the domains simultaneously. So if they have set to automatically log themselves in at StarTrekGuide.com, then if they switch over to PHPBBAcademy.com, they're again also automatically logged in using the same cookie. And so it's a really nice integration for people who have multiple domain names for the same site for their forums, and I know that not a lot of people do, but if you do, this is a great mod for you to check out. And so it's TH23 Domain by TH23 is the mod of the week. I don't know, David, what you use for getting your multiple domain names on Star Trek Guide. But.
We need to – actually, I think currently a hack. It's either a hack or nothing right now. And it needs to be something if it's nothing.
Maybe you should check, maybe you should check that mod out.
I should. Of course, I know how to do it, but it never helps. It never hurts.
Give it a try. See, take a look. We'll see. And maybe you can tell us a bit about it later on. Who knows? All right. The style of the week is another selection from the Styles database. It is Black Pearl by Mighty Gorgon. There's the link. And I kind of like sometimes looking at sites that really give you a kind of glowing type of effect. It has a very dark background, but there's very colorful, font colors and things like that really make it look as if this style kind of glows at you in a way. Also, this style uses the colorize it thing, which I believe is via icphoenix.com. Anyway, there is a link in the topic that I linked to where you can actually go and customize the colors of this style if you want to. So you can see that there's also some other similar styles similar to this on there as well. So if you like, but in this default color, this is kind of a black background. It's got some sort of bright orange links.
You're not
bright whites and stuff.
I got to be honest. I like his rainbow pearl style better than his black pearl style.
I like that too.
Which is it's a variation of it, of course. I actually like the color scheme better. I mean, it's similar. It's almost identical. It's just different colors.
The black pearl is black. Black pearl is almost an interesting choice for Halloween in a way. With the black and orange, but the rainbow pearl is nice, too.
Now, what's interesting, rainbow, I was expecting this rainbow colors. It's not rainbow. It looks like icy blue. I don't know what you'd call that. Like sea blue, I guess. Dark sea blue.
Yeah, you can see the rainbow pearl in the styles demo as well.
Yeah.
Which I'm trying to get to. It's a little bit difficult. So I saw it this morning. To be honest, I couldn't decide between Black Pearl and Rainbow Pearl. I flipped a coin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Black Pearl came up, so.
Okay. Well, yeah. Something different.
Check out the other one.
Now you see both of them. Heard both of them.
Yeah, we've mentioned both of them, but Black Pearl, thanks to the wonderfulness of fate, Black Pearl is the style of the week. Okay. So that wraps it up for this episode of PHP BB Weekly. Of course, our website is phpbbweekly.net, so you can find show notes for this show and links to the things we've talked about on the show and of all of our other episodes as well. Our forum, which we've mentioned more than enough times on this episode, is at StarTrekGuide.com. Go to the PHP BB Weekly podcast forum and share your comments on things we've talked about on this show, suggestions, things like that, and also any other things you'd like us to talk about in our Building a Successful Community feature, if you have things you'd like us to talk about, we will certainly consider adding it to the list. Our next episode will be episode 78, next Saturday, September 13th, at noon Eastern time, 4 p.m. UTC. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. We have not decided yet, and so we will see if there's any big news to come out of phpbb.com somewhere along the way. We'll have to find out.
Might just have to be a continuation of this, part two.
Well, unless something else comes up, that'll probably be the case. Also, in 2 weeks, I'm going to warn you, David, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to a conference in Oakland. So see if you can get some team members willing to do an episode without me in 2 weeks. I think that'd be nice to do another one of those. It's been a long time. Sound good? I'll take the silence as either a yes or the fact that your internet might be dropping again. Easier. All right, his internet's dropped again. We'll finish it up. PHP BB Weekly is also a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, go to techpodcast.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of PHP BB Weekly. I'm Douglas Bell. David Lewis is having internet troubles, but he is also signing off in spirit. And remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag, you're in. See you next week. Mushroom hunting.
Yeah, it's like if you go, say you go pick wild berries, right? You're going berry hunting. It's the same concept, basically.
Okay. Do you just take you need to bring like a rifle along with you to go shoot mushrooms as they run away from you?
No, hunting doesn't always have to be with a gun.
I would call it mushroom searching. I think that should be an Olympic sport, mushroom hunting.
Okay, here's mushroom hunting. There you go.
NorthernCountyMorals.com?
Mm-hmm.
You mean there's morals to mushroom hunting?
They're called morals. A special kind of mushroom.
I don't know, in my opinion, hunting is kind of immoral to me. What kind of mushrooms are that?
I don't know. I've never
like
seen them
small
before,
brown
but I guess
cactuses.
I guess they grow in Michigan, so people hunt for them.
Cacti.
Mushroom hunting.
Michigan morals? Northern County morals of Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the moral of the story is
I don't like mushrooms.
Why not?
I don't like mushrooms. I don't know why. I don't like them.
Are they too mushy for you?
I guess. I used to say they feel weird.
Mushrooms are certainly cheaper than hotel rooms.
I would rather pick a hotel room.
Hotel rooms are very expensive, you know.
I'd still rather pick a hotel room.